God's just breathed on it. So there's now it's a 70-piece orchestra. And he's just started Australian Christian Choir, and 100 people turned up. And actually next Saturday in Sydney, they're doing Handel's Messiah. And so he just hires a theatre, because that's what he watched his dad doing all his childhood for a church. He hires this theatre. He sold 800 tickets. This year they recorded the orchestra behind Darlene Check's re-thing of Shout to the Lord. And it's just been beautiful to watch my son. We always knew there was a call in his life, but he said, I'm never pastoring a church. And he effectively is now pastoring a church of 200 people from every Christian background. So it's probably harder than pastoring a church, to be honest, because he's got every expression of Christendom. But as a mum, you mums know, don't you, when you see your children thrive, all he needs to do now is to find himself a wife and give me some grandchildren. So before I start, just if you want to grab one of these prophesy books, so this is 80 days of things you can prophesy of your life. There's still a few out there you can grab on your way out. And the system is grab and go, not grab and steal, though you don't steal in Canberra. There have been churches that it's amused me. you just put the money through the bank account. But this is a great book for just using in your quiet time. And I want to give this to you, because you got something about you, girl. Oh, my word. Okay, so it's very interesting. I was sitting down this morning and trying to have a day of a bit of relaxation, and then God told me to completely change what I was going to do tonight. And interestingly, it's about the generations. And as you two were handing the baton, I thought, oh, okay, that's why God's told me to change it. So I'm going to have a little bit of fun with you. Is that okay? Photos will be involved. So who here, just be honest tonight because you're in God's house, who loves eavesdropping? There's nothing as fun as there sitting in a mall or something and people are talking and just having a giggle in your spirit. I love eavesdropping. Which is probably not a godly thing, but I really do love it. I just find it people fascinating. But I was, interestingly, recently I was in a church and I overheard this conversation, right? And it fascinated me, right? And I'm going to read to you what I heard, right? Different women talking about each other, because women can be cannibals. They can be a cannibalistic species, can't they, that just eat each other alive, right? And so, but this was different generations talking about each other in the church. I just found it fascinating, right? Because I, believe it or not, I used to be young. And how they were talking. So I heard this older lady saying that the young women in the church were so irresponsible, right? Yeah. And I remember thinking to myself, can you remember yourself when you were 20 or 18? Like, come on, sweetheart. So the older ladies were talking about the younger ladies and saying they're irresponsible. And then I heard a funny story. I might have mentioned this here. I remember my mum, when I was about 17, berating the youth pastor because I had been in an all-night prayer meeting. Yeah, I think I mentioned that yesterday, I did in the city. And as I've got older, I've realised my mum should have been congratulating the pastor that I was in an all-night prayer meeting and not having sex, drugs and rock and roll somewhere around Brisbane. It was actually quite a good thing that I was in a prayer meeting. And then I heard the younger women talking about the older women, right? Now, I belong to the older women category now. I'm getting up there. You'll find out just how close I'm getting up there is in a minute. And I heard these young women saying about the older woman, I could never be part of this place. I don't want to just knit and crochet. Right. Now, I have heard someone telling me, though, that crocheting is the new black for the young adults now, right? It's back, isn't it? It's made its journey back. But don't do any doilies for my house. I don't want any of those. Or you young women will be too young to ever remember this. But when I was growing up, they used to make Barbie. They used to make like Barbies with skirts to put over the top of toilet roll holders. That was demonic. And so I just find the way generations relate to each other very, very interesting, right? And I think the church is the perfect prototype for doing it right. And I look across this room and you are. It's beautiful, right? But I just really want to get it into our spirits tonight. We should neither be critical or dismissive or jealous of each other. Because we're all doing this womanhood thing together, amen? And we don't want to be, like I said, cannibals of each other. And it seems like society has taught us to not see wisdom and experience, but to see weakness and ugliness. And why has the ultimate compliment in the world become you don't look your age? Why is that a compliment? I'm trying to work it out, right? Because you older ladies, you're going to love me from tonight. You're going to like, Jen, you brought the word of the Lord. But why is that a compliment? It's because there's an inbuilt fear in all of us that we don't want change. And so I just pray that God the Holy Spirit comes and really helps us with that tonight. I'm going there, girls. Are you ready? But why also have the older generation developed a cynicism about the following generation? And I find myself doing it. You know, ooh, that Gen Z, they're so irresponsible. But every generation has its pluses and its minuses. Every single generation does. Why have we started to think that change is a disease that needs to be eradicated? The fact is, my ass is a lot lower than it was 30 years ago. Guys, just you're going to have to put your fingers in your ears just for little bits because this is a girls' night. Okay. We can become dismissive or too embracive of what we actually fear. So we're going to go there tonight. God wants to bring about a change in our hearts that is polar opposite to what the spirit of the age tells us as women we're meant to be. Wouldn't it be just be the most amazing thing if we could actually bring about change? Now, girls, I live on the Gold Coast. The sights I see and the standard of beauty, well, it's mainly trout pout and duck lips on the Gold Coast. But if those of you in Canberra that have never gone to that, let me explain it. They get stuff in their lips and it looks like this. And just this, it's like this standard that women, and wouldn't it be amazing as we as God's girls raised up a standard that changed everything? It'd just be the most amazing thing. Okay, so I believe tonight God's going to reassign some of our securities and to change some of the things on which our heart relies. And do you know what makes me really angry / really sad when I see what the enemy tries to do with womanhood, right? It's that we're his bride. We're his girls. We're his daughters. And my prayer tonight is that God just begins a real change in us. So I'm going to take you on a journey tonight. And this is Jenny through the years, okay? And so I wonder if we can show the first photo tonight. A woo-hoo, a woo-hoo. Now, I thought I was fat then. And, yeah, exactly. Well, this is the problem we have, don't we, ladies? Because I was actually at that age, I think I was 21, I was actually an Australian-level athlete when I was young. I've got two artificial hips for doing that now. So don't run, eat cake. But so that was me in my 20s, right? So when I look back, it was the bomb.com, right? Your bum is very north of the border. You have a wrinkle-free face and you're discovering your individuality, right? But let me just talk about the downsides of your 20s. Are you enjoying this, girls? The photo, you'll see me age. But in our 20s, we can be intolerant and we can suffer with arrogance and we can care greatly about what people think of us. And sometimes we're too quick to want to fulfill everyone's expectations. The other side to this photo that you don't see is that I had a major eating disorder. Because of just, you know, I'm just being really honest tonight. You know, there's ups and downs of every part of our life. Okay, let's move on to the 30s. Here we go. That's when the eyebrows were thin. These are tattooed. Do you like? So, yeah, they had to be because I plucked them off my face. So I told you I was going to have some fun time. This is me in my 30s. So in your 30s, you sort of got it together. You got your career or you've got your family. You've got both. And you can become assertive about your accumulation in your 30s. But in our 30s, we can become dismissive of those older as we are holding on, hoping not to fall over the precipice of youth. Do you remember, can anybody remember when you turned 30 and you thought the world had ended? Let me encourage you tonight, if you've not got there, you'll survive. You'll survive it. So this is me in my 30s. And our accomplishments in our 30s can become our calling card. And you know, sometimes in our 30s, we lead with our career. We say, this is what I do. Very interesting, isn't it? So we change from our 20s when it's like, look at me. And our 30s, it's look at what I do. So now we'll go to my 40s. This is me in my 40s. This was in Europe. Thank you. In our 40s, our faces are no longer lying and our necks are the truth. So if you if you see the neck, that's the truth, right? That was too much sun before I left England. We're no longer wiping babies' bums, right? And we're starting to celebrate our newfound freedom, depending on how old you were when you had the baby. I had my son at 25. But in our 40s, we're carrying sometimes carrying so much weight, not in terms of weight, as in weight, but weight. We're carrying a lot of weight in our 40s, not to mention the teenage taxi service. And we can sometimes in our 40s neglect attention to our souls, to ourselves. And life and experience can catch us up and attempt to drag us down. Is this just helping you tonight? Like you're feeling good about yourself? Okay. Right. Now, this next photo is me on my 50th birthday. Yes, I scrubbed up well. That was MAC makeup. Went to the counter, got it done. Got my hair done. Wore my Tiffany green, it was a ball gown. And some of my friends from, this is Glenn Barrett, Pastor Glenn Barrett's wife there at the back. So this was my 50th birthday, and one of my best friends, Trisha, there in the background. So this was my 50th birthday. And we've reached in our 50s. We're experienced and we're poised and we have a new knowledge, perhaps, of who we are. Did you notice my hair colour change? That was covering grey over the years. But sometimes in our 50s, we can be haunted by the weight of accomplishment and the avalanche of past experiences haunting us and catching us up. Do you know, there is a great truth in that if you don't deal with your trauma and stuff that you've been through, it will come up and catch you. So you've got to allow God in your 30s and 40s to deal with stuff you've been through in your spirit. Not to mention in your 50s, your butt drops. And I always say, guys, you're going to put your fingers in your ears again. Okay. This is my quote for the 50s. I look great with clothes on. Okay, you can take your fingers out again. Okay. So the next photo. So in about 17 months' time, 18 months to go. No, it's not a go, to go. Yep. I am 60. In 18 months' time. But I'm married 40 years, about 2 months before, so we're going to have a 40 party, not a 60. So I imagine, and those ladies that have gone before me, like your Linda, she's like hashtag goals for 60s. We've often reached a settling place in our hearts, and for the lucky ones, not me, the joy of grandchildren, and children who recognise you're no longer an idiot after all. So just to encourage you ladies tonight in the 20s our son would say stuff like, I can't get away from you and Dad anywhere in the world. Because we were still living in England and he was back in Australia, and like nothing we could do would impress him. And now he's in his 30s, he's like, he really thinks we're really cool. And he rings his dad for advice. So ladies, don't worry. It'll come home to roost, at all that training. But we can gain a new cynicism and criticism of those who are following us through on the life journey. I want to be a person that can relate to every single generation and every age group. So, what are we going to do about ourselves, girls? How are we going to approach, you can take that, yes, take that one down with all the lines on my neck off. How are we going to approach this life process and this journey with God's pattern? So I'm going to take you to Scripture. You're relieved? Scripture is coming. And I've titled this message The Elizabeth Moment. And I'm going to talk about two women in the New Testament who both did the same life experience. And one was Elizabeth and one was Mary. And so we read in Luke chapter 1, it talks about Elizabeth. It says, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were both very old. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you to call him John. So this first story was about a woman, Elizabeth, who was very old and had been believing for a miracle of having a baby in her old age. And then in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, we read about Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married. Now, guys, you're going to have to put your fingers in your ears again, okay? To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Keep him in, which proves they can still hear me because they're nodding. Pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, Mary was very young. Okay, you're coming with me. So this is Mary's story. You need to just keep your fingers in your ears for the next 20 minutes. Okay. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing you now. You're fine. At that time, Mary got ready. Do you know what I love to do in Europe? When they do an interpret, I'm just going completely off piece tonight, but I'm having fun. I used to play with interpreters, right? So I'd be in a women's meeting and they'd get a guy up to interpret for you. So I would talk about periods, menstruation, childbirth, everything just to make him squirm. Anyway. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. I call this the Elizabeth moment. This was when two generations joined together and where petty jealousies were put aside for mutual celebration. The name Elizabeth means God is satisfaction, and she knows. But this goes very deep because Elizabeth, in her old age, who all her life had wanted to have a baby, could have been cynical and jealous and petty towards Mary. Because she was old and she'd struggled. And here was a young woman who didn't even have to do the deed to get pregnant. You didn't have to go through all that nonsense. And she could have been cynical about Mary. But there was this beautiful moment that I call the Elizabeth moment, when two generations of womanhood connected with the beauty of womanhood together. And I wanted to paint that picture tonight, to paint the picture of how he wants the girls in God's church to operate. when we're all, because we're all doing this journey called womanhood, whether we're 15 or whether we're 85. We're all doing this journey together. They bonded and celebrated. And the generations coexisted together. They realized that they suffered joy and pain together and the barriers were broken down. Most of what we experience as women is the same thing repackaged in a different wrapping paper in every life, in every heart, in every moment through the years. And the barriers erected between us and society are not actual. They are erected by an enemy that arranges society in terms of youth and that erects fear and insecurity in our hearts. I'm just going to read this because I wrote it and it's good. And places such an irrational fear in us of progression through life that we dismiss its validity. Progression through life is inevitable, but celebration is optional. Do you know, I remember a moment, I think I was just about to turn 50, and I realized because probably 60%, so our location in Sheffield probably had 1,000 people in it, and 60% of that church was under 35. And I realized when I just about turned 50 that there was such a celebration of youth that the older women felt like they were losing their voice. And I preached on that here last night. They felt that they no longer had anything to contribute or say. So I started another ministry, because that's what you do. And I called it We Are Woman. And it was for women over 50. And I began to breathe into the lives of these women and saying, what you've got to give the kingdom. And they became such champions of the young women. They became the people that paid for, I used to have this women's conference for 20 years, and they were the people that paid for the teen girls to come in the hundreds to the women's conference. They were the women that got behind when we were sending missionaries overseas and they paid for it. And so I raised up this generation of women over 50 who realized not only did they have something to give, they had something to say. And so I want to encourage you tonight, ladies that are a little bit older, a bit longer in the tooth like me, your contribution to the kingdom is incredible. These young women in the room, they need your wisdom. They need your life experience tonight. And older ladies, you need these young women to give you fashion advice. But you need the young women to keep you youthful, to keep your spirit raw, to stop you getting cynical about life. Amen? You need the young women to say, stop that. Behave yourself. Don't talk like that. Some young women, you need to have the boldness to say that to some of the old birds. I've seen a lot over the years where the arrogance of youth hides a deep insecurity of the soul. And the cynicism of older years hides the prevalence of deep disappointment. Ultimately, what we are dealing with here is the fear of crossing over and the curiosity of the middle and the place called no man's land that we try to avoid at all costs. Am I going deep now? And basically, we are dealing with fear. And the Bible calls it out in 2 Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, this is the Amplified, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline and abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. I'm going to read this bit because sometimes when I'm writing a message, I just start to write and it's like I'm downloading something from heaven. It's the fear of the enemy on the other side. And the fear, if you're young, it's the enemy of a bad selfie. Actually, let me just stop for a minute. Now listen, don't judge me. You're just about to judge me. So just put your judgment away for a second. I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Don't judge. No. I knew you were going to do it. Don't do it. We're talking about not judging tonight. And Kim Kardashian, who we can thank not for active wear that shows way too much, especially on the Gold Coast at 4:30 a.m. She was having an absolute meltdown because a photo had been taken of her with cellulite. And it made me really sad as I was watching it because I thought, are you defined by something that 95% of women have? Like, is your life, she was devastated by it. And it just struck me. The enemy has tried to get hold of our society in a way that's so warped. And wouldn't it be amazing as we, as an army of womanhood, stood up? Amen? And started to bring some stuff back that means stuff. In Jesus' name. Anyway, I went sideways with that. In 1 Peter 3, it says, your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as elaborate hairstyles. This is why this is so bad. And the wearing of God, because I thought I might just do it one more time before I turn 60. Because I've had short hair since I was 35. And my husband's looking at me every single day now and saying, when are you getting your hair cut, Jen? But I'm persevering. We hope. And the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. If you are in the middle tonight, it's the fear of the loss of your youth. And if you are older tonight, it's the fear of seeming irrelevant. But God's design is not that we should fear. We should grasp his celebration and endorsement over every moment of our lives. I believe God not only wants us to hold hands across the generations, but to minister deeply to our insecurity. Our insecurities that emerge as superiority or inferiority. But God wants to replace that fear with a deep peace and a peace that does not look like the world gives. I wonder if we could have the band back up and so I can embarrass the two men who've had to listen to all of this. But I'm playing tonight, right? But I'm not playing really. I'm speaking some real truth into our lives as women tonight. Let me read this. When you look at your life, you see a spiral downwards, but he sees a spiral upwards. A journey of discovery about yourself and your father, your maker and friend. The next stage is not a threat. It's a glorious moment of watching your father meet you, love you, and always provide for you. He meets you in the middle. He meets you in the crossover, on the bridge, in no man's land. He meets you in the next step. He reaches out his hand and beckons you forward on what seems the tenuous land called life. He is the master poet, the perfect gentleman, the lover God, the suitor, the fairest judge, the one who works out all for your good, the one who is the fairest in 10,000 and the holder of your hand. He is the one who promises that even to your old age and gray hairs, he will carry you and romance you and celebrate you. That is he. For perfect love casts out all fear. There is no fear in love. Because perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. I wonder if you'd stand with me tonight, ladies. I wrote this because I've had to deal with it. Oh my goodness. I can tell how comfortable I am here. I'm almost in tears. When I was young, I was an athlete. And as you saw, incredibly slim and all that, this, that and the other. And then as I've got older, like, that's not necessarily the case anymore. And I've had to struggle with the change in my life. I've had to pass on the baton to incredible young women coming after me, and to be honest, that's the greatest delight. But sometimes when you pass the baton on, and I can see why this God told me to say this tonight, when you pass the baton on, you can lose respect for those that have gone before. And I honour you, Linda, tonight. I honour you. This is what we failed to do. We honour you for all the years. But Linda doesn't become insubstantial or irrelevant in passing the baton on. She becomes the fountain of wisdom. She becomes that person that Ali can go to and the team can go and say, what would you do, you know? And you don't... So I honour you, but, you know, I've struggled with this myself and I'm coming to a place where I realise, do you know, you wouldn't worry about getting old if you realised it was a privilege.